If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Diet.
Welcome to episode 14.88, part 3 of The Daily Show, brought to you by therightstuff.biz.
This is The Daily Show.
I am the Seventh Son. I'm joined this week on the death panel by Mike Enoch Ghoul and the new be-microphoned Alex McNabb. Say hello, Alex.
Alex McNabb has a new microphone.
Oh, it's just digital sex coming through your fucking speakers right now.
This is great. Everybody now has a... Everyone has a professional quality mic.
Everybody sounds so good. Oh, it's so good.
God fucking damn it.
Thanks to our donators for that.
Donations.
Yeah. Because of donations, we've been able to upgrade our tech. We've all got the latest in nigger tech.
We moved
actually,
on
I don't
up.
Think you can actually call a microphone nigger tech because that's like too much of a high-end device.
Yeah, like if we were doing this on like the Bluetooth things on our ears, like, that would be the nigger tech version of
it. Are they still wearing the Bluetooth earpieces? Is that still a thing?
I still see people with the hardwired ones that's just like clipped on and the fucking wire goes down to their... pockets. I think that's pretty funny, but
yeah, I see people like with their phone and then headphones and then the little hanging mic on the headphones talking on the street all the time. It's not white people do it too. It's not strictly niggers that do it.
No, let's just put it out there that niggers do it.
Like, what's this black harness thing I see people wearing now? That's like a freaking like. What is that shit? It's like a thing that goes around your neck, and then you got the little earphone pieces that come up, and then the little mic shit. What is that?
I actually honestly don't know what that is.
It's like I see all these people have Apple Tech using it, and I...
Hipster Tech? The worst ever at Nigger Tech, I don't know if you guys remember, like, chirping back when people used
Where you at,
my nigga?
Yeah, like, that would be like, boop, boop, where you at, nigga? It would be, and in the city, it was, like, constant.
Yeah.
Was it? It was not at all here.
Well, it's because only blacks ever did it. Blacks and like people that actually legitimately had to do it, like construction work.
Yeah, it was all like contractors and their guys doing that. That I remember.
It's like, why can't you just use the phone? I don't get why is that better than a phone?
The worst was that when Sprint figured out they were giving away too much for free. That was just a free feature, the walkie-talkie feature, and then they started like limiting your chirp minutes, and then it just died.
Well, it also died because like better phones.
Well, yeah, but it was just
when the iPhone started coming out, and
they helped kill it by like giving it for free and then
by making you pay for it.
Yeah, yeah, it's like because it didn't count against your like plan. So you could get a plan from Sprint with like 200 minutes.
That's why niggers did it. Yeah, that's the explanation.
Yeah, you could get a plan with 200 minutes, but then that was unlimited. I think.
I wouldn't surprise me because that's probably why they would use it. It's also just high time preference. Like you don't have to actually see if someone's available for a call. You just chirp them.
Where you is? I go.
All right. So
speaking of donations.
So real quick, let me just talk about donations. We got one $50 donation from Steven. So thank you, Steven. That's awesome. We got one $20 one last week from Pierce that I mentioned. That's awesome. So yes. I now have $70 in the donation fund. So we'll figure out something.
Steven Pearson. I gotta buy some crack.
Don't say that because I'm going to think there's someone named Steven Pierce and there's not. Well, there is, but they
there probably is, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So, all right.
Crack money.
Speaking of...
I've got $70 worth of crack money that can...
There you go. I've got to do a feedback real quick. I think in passing, I have to apologize to that blog Patriactionary and the main poster, Will S. I don't know what gave me the idea that those guys were a bunch of gay Catholic bloggers. I don't know why I thought that, but I did think that. Like, I wasn't just being like, "Hey, you guys are gay." I literally thought that, and I'm sorry. I don't know who I have you confused with. I'm going to figure it out eventually, but just wanted to point that out to everybody that heard that. Patriactionary, not a gay blog.
I just want to point out the TRS is never wrong. Just disregard everything you just heard.
That's true.
Okay,
that's
so true. There was, I don't know, let me see if there's any other contacts worth talking about. Most of the other contacts were just, hey, guys, check out this article. There's one that I definitely want to respond to. Someone wanted us to talk about the whole pants up, don't loot thing, or just talk about it. So we can talk about that. We're going to have a few things to say on Ferguson a little bit later. But there's another one that was from Isaac. It's funny, we got one from Isaac Shekelstein and Shlomo Shekelstein.
There you go.
Shekelstein, so maybe people need to start coming
shut
up with...
Shut it down! Shut it down!
You need new jokes.
More original names to send us contacts with. So the article from Isaac Shekelstein was interesting, though, because he said... real quick before I do that, I did want to mention to Lynn Blythe that, you know, I did email you back. I don't know if you saw it. I want you to go ahead and publish, or not publish, but just write your articles on Islam. He wrote me, he said that he wanted to create a greater theme for his articles. Like, they were really just informational and didn't have any kind of punch to them. So he wanted to go with the theme that, like, the rhetoric that Islam is somehow, you know, masculine and macho and something that the West should adopt in order to save itself from liberalism, and why that's fucking retarded, basically. So I think that's a great theme. You should go with that and read my email, and we'll stay in touch. I will stay in touch with you, and, you know, I will publish your articles when you write them.
Yeah, I mean, the TRS theme here is just, you want to use the N-word a lot. I mean, that's number one. Okay, like any kind of racial expletives you can think of, throw those in the article. We appreciate that, obviously.
With Muslims, yeah, you might want to call them sand niggers. Muzzies is good. What are some other
ones? Muzzies is good.
Jawas.
I like Jawa. That's good.
Houdini!
So we also should mention that is it true, like, Sean Last's response to the panda person is that's ready, isn't it?
Oh, yeah,
still not up, but it's ready.
We got to get him to come on and discuss it, because he left a message to us the other day that basically he had been going back and forth with this woman via email, and said that she actually has begged him not to write a response, saying she kept saying she's going to upgrade it because it's being used in college classrooms. She wants to make sure it's the most accurate information.
Yeah, he had said that his exchange with her had been, like, beneficial or whatever. I think what he actually meant was his exchange with her had been lulzy.
Yeah,
she's
just
backpedaling, like, and begging. And
he said it's productive, but he meant it's producing lulz. So, yeah, he was saying, like, begging him, basically, not to write a response, because I think she knows, probably from looking at his other stuff, that he's going to basically rip her to shreds using data and evidence, and that's what she wants to avoid.
Right.
And, you know, he was saying, apparently, one thing he gleaned from her feedback was that she thinks that the data point, which is apparently an old data point, that something like only 20% of anthropologists in the United States think that race is a valid category, and he was then explaining why, one, that might not be true, two, why that alone doesn't really mean anything.
That's a global warming argument.
Yeah,
no, it's totally argument from authority, and it's not really addressing any points. So I mean, he wrote a whole thing for us on immigration, which we're going to get into, and so I'm like, dude, just do it. Just pull the trigger. I mean, I think he's got to just pull the trigger. And I would like to get him on the show to tell us about what he talked about with her. And I'd like him just to finally write that article. But right. That still has not disappeared. That's actually probably been pretty fruitful. And I would love to have him come on and tell us some of the lulzy things. And maybe even read some of those emails, unless he promised her he wouldn't. But I don't give a fuck about that. That would be great if he would do it. Anyway. So I guess the one thing I did want to now jump into was Isaac Shekelstein sent an article from Politico, which is basically about how the Democrats, or it was recommending that the Democrats become completely and openly a party that is like a non-white party, as a, you know, in a coalition against white people, basically. And so that leads into sort of what I had wanted to say about...
Is that criticism or is that real advice?
No, it's like they're saying that this is like the political tact that they should take. It's not criticism. It's saying this is what they should do.
And is that supposed to be sarcastic?
Well, it was on Politico. I don't really know what Politico's line is. I'm pretty sure that, I mean, the edit, it wasn't anything from the alt-right. It wasn't anything. It was like mainstream shit. So yeah. I would say
like, you know, from a sarcastic perspective, that's relatively amusing. But if you're actually being serious at that point, you're fucking dumb.
Yeah. I mean, but given what the sort of the way the left is trending, that it's basically more and more becoming openly anti-white. And of course, whites then aren't allowed to actually organize in their own defense or in their own interest against this. I mean,
unless they're young and ambitious, leftists really aren't anti-white in the way that people would, in the way that they would consider, like, they don't know that they're being anti-white.
Right, right. They think they're just being super progressive and I mean, they'll jump into, like, anti-white rhetoric.
But I would say that's mostly, like, younger people, trying to strive for group exceptionalism or something.
Right, yeah, they're signaling status.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, relevant leftists, Gen X, baby boomers, etc., just Marxist, dumb Marxists. Basically, they don't understand that a lot of what they say is anti-white. It's probably been the rhetoric's probably been fed to them by anti-white people, and yeah, they still all they digest is what their brains allow them to digest.
Yeah, this was sort of touching on the immigration thing, though, that because whites are going to be ultimately, we won't be a minority, but we'll be not a majority. We'll be a plurality. Like, there'll be like a 45% white and then a mix of other things.
It's by 2040.
That will probably happen within our lifetime.
In the 2040s, they estimate, I believe, if trends hold.
In 24 years, you're saying?
No, in the 2040s. I think it was 2042.
Okay. Well, that's still maybe time to
but if
do
they've
something.
Got, but up until then, if there's enough guilty cultural Marxist whites going along with it, I mean, they don't have to wait that long.
We deserve it. We deserve it because of what we did to the Indians.
Exactly.
We deserve it.
But, I mean, what we did to the blacks.
But when a leftist says that, he doesn't mean I deserve it. He means you deserve it, you other white people. Not me. I'm cool.
Right.
You deserve it.
Yeah, so, but he's not having kids, so he doesn't deserve it.
All right.
Yeah, he's not. He's like not having kids because he doesn't want to spread the evil white virus throughout the
and
human
race. And he removed his phallus.
Right.
Yeah. I did want to talk generally about, like, the whole thing with Obama's immigration amnesty and how I think the Democratic Party is following a demographic strategy, and they're fairly open about it. And like I talked about last time with that conservative email, there's some part of the Republican Party that's aware of this. They just are under the impression that it's not going to work, that they can recruit a certain number of Hispanics. I think
why would you do that? Why would you even bother? Why would you bother?
I don't know. I mean, they do get more of a Hispanic vote than they do a black vote. Like, they get around 15% of Hispanics when they get around 5% of blacks.
But don't they see the numbers that we see, where you see these, like, generationally, it doesn't get better, that these large percentages of them prefer bigger government and more services, more public services? It doesn't...
Yeah, it doesn't actually improve.
How do they not see this, but we do?
To the extent they assimilate, it doesn't actually get better for the Republicans.
Right.
It doesn't. They don't become conservative.
And what kind of strategy is it to bank on three generations from now, it's going to be better? I mean, three generations from now, it's probably game over at that point. I mean,
I mean, once there's actually no longer a white majority, then I think it's probably game over for any kind of right wing politics.
The strategy on this almost plays into that whole. It tempts me to take the conspiracy theory seriously that it's an inner party and outer party. It's the same party, and it's all controlled by Jews and Alex Jones and chemtrails.
No, that's too simple, though. That's way too simple. And you know, we know who the people are that are supposedly the inner party. Like, we know who the inner party Republicans are, and we know what they think and why they. And I mean, there's not like a secret cabal. Like, this is wide open, and it's there for people to see. It's not. It's a little bit of a digression from what I did want to talk about. if I could just real quick talk about the actual immigration order itself, and I know that we had some mixed. There was some mixed responses. I just wanted to give my take on it and then respond to a criticism of that. Basically, there's sort of a debate over, one, how much of an effect does Obama's order have, and two, whether or not, these are the two issues, whether it has an effect and whether or not it's legal, constitutional, and whether or not we care about any of those things. So I think it does have an effect. Basically, if to just summarize what he did really quick, so he basically said by executive fiat that I guess if you're an illegal immigrant that's been in the country since at least 2010 and you have children, you gave birth or you parented a child inside the borders of the United States in that time, then you can apply for deportation
deferment.
It's deportation deferment. So there's deportation deferment for 3 years. And in that period of 3 years, you can apply for permanent residency and work visas, right? You're deportation deferred for 3 years. And then in the time when you're deferred, you don't have to worry about immigration authorities. So you can go ahead and apply for all kinds of paperwork like permanent visas, permanent residency, work visas, etc. And even, you know, voter rights in some cases and social security numbers in some cases. And there's about they don't know exactly, but it's estimated about 4 to 5 million people fall into that category. And it rewards exactly the kind of behavior that we don't want, right? So it's the immigrants that have kids that come in and can avoid immigration enforcement for 5 years and have a kid, then they get to stay. So not only do we have them staying, their kids staying, but now this also sends the message that the best way to get to stay in the United States to other immigrants is to have children. So it basically rewards everything that we don't want, right?
Yeah, so. But that's an incentive, and we, like, I don't know how incentives work.
Right. Yeah, but people don't actually respond to incentives, as every leftist that tried to into economic theory knows. So, yeah. So, I mean, basically, it's not just we're giving amnesty or, you know, virtual amnesty. It's that it's amnesty that rewards exactly the wrong kind of behavior from our perspective. And then also, I mean, whether or not our audience cares about this, I think it's a relevant point, though, is that there are individuals who have tried to do the immigration through the right channels. And interestingly, like, immigration to the U.S. through proper channels actually isn't easy. Like, if we actually enforce immigration law, we'd probably still be a very strong majority white country, because it's actually not easy to come through the right channels. And people that do come through the right channels have to go through a whole lot of shit, and they're constantly checked up on by the authorities. Because actually, if you think about it, it makes sense from the perspective of the political establishment, because they actually put Republicans who care about not flooding the country in charge of that, and they're actually strict. And then, you know, in the other way that you can come, the Democrats are very, very lenient. And the Democrats have no interest in anybody that comes over through the proper channels, because they're probably educated, they're going to get a real job, they're going to contribute to the economy. So that's not the kind of people that we want, because even if they don't vote Republican, they're going to be contributors rather than takers. So, you know.
I mean, I just understand why you would be opposed to us flooding the country with low-skilled, low-IQ workers. Like, what's the problem with that?
I mean, it definitely builds a greater constituency for socialist programs. I mean, so definitely it's a good thing. Let's bring more oppressed people in.
I mean, I don't understand why you'd want to select for higher quality, you know, individuals to make up your country.
Well, you're like actually that. Making a fundamental mistake there, and even thinking that there is such a thing as a higher quality individual. It's only an individual who's been oppressed by social circumstances.
Shit.
Those that haven't. So there you go. The other thing he did was that in 2012, Obama had issued another executive order where he created something called, like, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which is called, like, DACA. That's the acronym for it. And the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals was for people that were under 16 before 2007 but were not born here, would get deportation deferment. So those people couldn't be deferred. He moved up the 2007 to 2010 with this executive action. So now that, and that's probably about 300,000 or so people. So overall, it's about 4 to 5 million people that won't be, they will have no immigration action taken against them for the next 3 years. And in that time, they can apply for all kinds of permanent status things. And one argument is, oh, this doesn't really matter. The Obama administration wasn't going after them anyway. And while it's true that Obama didn't want to go after them, the immigration authorities were actually not following he was giving memos to them, like, don't go hard on it, but they actually still were going hard anyway, because probably they're led by right-wingers, like people like Joe Arpaio, who's a sheriff, not an immigration, but still, you know, like, there were people. So during the time Obama's been president, they have been deporting about 400,000 people a year. And between 2010 and 2012, about 200,000 people that fit this profile of people given deferment now were deported. So it's not true that these people weren't necessarily being deported. Not only that, but part of the executive order was to issue orders to INS to something, funnily enough, called CIS, which is Citizenship and Immigration Services.
Die, CIS scum.
So CIS scum, so the INS, the CIS scum, and Homeland Security were told, were directed to look for all look through all the people in custody now for immigration violations and to release the people that meet the criteria covered by this order. So it actually does have an immediate effect, and then it also has a long-term effect of down the road. Now we have this many more people with legitimate status here, and so I think that the argument that it's not that much different is wrong, that it's not doing that much on the immediate front is wrong. There's also the argument that what Obama was essentially doing is trolling right-wingers to get really mad about something that's sort of like not really a big deal. And I think that might be true. I've seen a lot of leftists run with that line, both on like Huffington Post and other media outlets and on chat groups and things like that. I have seen liberals running with this line.
You know, I was convinced, I was kind of convinced of that one, but now I'm not. Like, why would you, it seems like if you're going to pull this stunt, you would pull it now, you know, thinking that, all right, if I'm going to make a sweeping change to the immigration law in this country, I'm going to do it right now when I'm a lame duck, when we just lost the midterms and the next presidential election is 2 years off and that's time for it to simmer down and go away. Like, can, like, you know, this is the best time to do it, because it's butthurt as the Republicans will be about it, as we're going to be about it. Will it be sustained until 2016? And the answer is probably not. So I don't,
I agree with that, dude. I agree. I think that the populace will have forgotten by then.
It won't be forgotten. It'll be like Benghazi, where when you say it, people will roll their eyes like, oh, this again.
The only people rolling their eyes are people that have devout loyalty to Dildo anyway. I really think you're too quick to dismiss people remembering.
I don't know. I mean,
they'll remember.
I hope
they're done for it, but they'll remember.
I think some people will remember, but the public does have somewhat of a short memory. I think that probably Republicans less than that. But I do, if you remember, like a couple of months. Okay, so a couple of months before the midterms, if you guys remember, Obama had actually been promising to do this for a while.
Right.
So he then like punted on it, like he backed off on it, and he was given a lot of criticism by Latino groups. But the specific reason why he punted was that he didn't want it fresh in the memory of people for the midterm that he had just done this, because it would have possibly led to the Republicans giving even more of an ass kicking. And so it's funny that he was actually criticized by the Hispanic community and liberals for punting when it was actually a smart move, even though they got trounced in the election anyway. It could have been worse. It would have could have possibly motivated a much larger conservative turnout if he had done something blatantly autocratic, you know, right before an election. Right. Like, it's just not smart politics. So he actually did the politically smart thing and waited, and now he's done what they wanted him to do.
Right.
So I think on the one level that it's possibly partly a troll is that essentially the line I've seen leftists go with is that now that he has essentially, like, one of the reasons that conservatives oppose immigration publicly rhetorically is like, oh, it's illegal, they're breaking the law, we shouldn't reward law breaking, we should, you know, etc. So they find any way to go at it other than the racial angle. And so Obama is now putting them in a corner where to continue to be opposed to it, you have to sort of be revealing that you're racist. And to some extent, from our perspective, or maybe my perspective, this is just something I've seen. So if you have a response to that.
Oh, well there's plenty of people who rightfully believe what he had done was not within the law. So they can, I mean, it's not like conservatives are thinking, well, now it's legal. I don't know.
Yeah. There's plenty of people that think what he did himself was illegal because it would require, like, that the action was so sweeping that it would actually require legislative action. He can't just order
but
it.
But Reagan and H.W. Bush.
But that's like the Emancipation Proclamation.
Ah, oh, my God. That's the worst one. That's the worst one.
But is that actually going around? Because all I did was
I saw
find that one stupid image that from Mrs. Betty Bowers or whatever her name is. She's just some just dumb woman. But
well, that's just like a dumb liberal making fun of a conservative Christian with a cat like that. Betty Bowers is not a person; it's a character.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah, okay.
The person playing Betty Bowers is a silly woman, basically.
Yeah, it's a cat lady.
Basically. But
always with the cat ladies.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the most right wing president of all time. I'm not saying that's I'm not saying that is Reagan. I'm just saying in Fantasyland, doesn't matter what their beliefs are or what their party affiliations are. It's either legal or it's illegal.
Right.
Right. And there's, I mean, Sean Last did a good article for the site yesterday where he basically outlined why he thinks it is illegal and why he thinks it was not in the spirit of the same thing that Reagan and Bush did. Because regardless of what we might think, what Reagan and Bush did was in line with the public and the legislature, and Obama did this in defiance of the legislature. Like he did it because he couldn't get what he wanted to right. do through. So
yeah, he even said that.
Yeah,
and then what? As if to prove that gives it some kind of legitimacy.
Yeah, that actually takes.
Well, I tried to take the legal route, and it didn't happen. So
yeah, I mean that's completely contrary to the spirit of the Constitution, which is that the president can't just rule by executive order because he didn't get what he wanted through Congress. And he's just that's fucking tough shit. Like that's what a check. And balance is. That's what the whole point of the Constitution is.
But that's what Lincoln did, right?
Yeah, it's a little different.
Well, he didn't try to legislate by fiat. He probably broke the law. He unconstitutionally jailed people for speech, but he claimed emergency powers because of wartime. That was his excuse. I mean, I think it was still bullshit, but you know, it wasn't unprecedented.
Well, maybe Obama's claiming special powers because race war now.
Yeah,
didn't do nothing. It's race war 2014.
Apparently, from what I've seen, regardless of party affiliations, most Americans were not in favor of this decision.
They weren't.
It was just sort of a, I don't know, tip of the hat and wink to Hispanics for a good vote next election.
But see, most Americans were in favor of immigration reform.
Yeah, very vague terms to justify retarded decision.
It's the same shit they do with gun control. They're like, well, most Americans think that there should be some sort of gun control reform. I mean, just look at the polling.
Most scientists believe that human action affects the climate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, if they say immigration reform, they always get a majority. If they say amnesty, they never do.
Right.
So and while there's like Obama said, what he did wasn't amnesty. Like it effectively was for at least 3 years. It's amnesty.
We're going to have a
possibility. It's like
not, we're going to have a banana
deportation relief.
We're in the
deportation relief.
We're in the middle of a banana. The banana is about 5 million people in this banana. I don't know. Does anybody remember the banana? It's not a recession. It's a banana. Sorry.
No,
I believe that was one of Carter's press. I think it was Carter's press secretary that said that. He wasn't allowed to use the word.
What? He wasn't allowed to use the word, what, dildo? So he was banana?
He wasn't allowed to use the word recession in a press conference. Yeah. So he actually just said banana instead of recession in his fucking address. I'd have to double check on who it was, but I believe it was Carter's press secretary.
Yellow dildos.
Yeah. So. All right. I figured a bunch of right-wingers would be up on that shit, but.
So, well, you're going like way earlier than a lot of people's time. I mean,
you're an old fag like me.
I'm an old fag too. I mean, Jimmy Carter was president when I was born.
That's right.
You know, I was never self-aware at any point during his presidency.
Well, yeah, I wasn't either, but.
You weren't either. Yeah. I do remember my parents absolutely loved him, but.
Excuse me, I was a white nationalist and they told me Reagan was a Jew, so I just don't approve of Reagan.
Ironically, white nationalists actually like Carter. They say he was like the last good president. Or I mean, I've seen this rhetoric before. So
I've never seen that before.
I have seen it from our good friend, but it doesn't matter.
Well, that's the thing we're going to be working on one of these days. I've got this.
I want to play a game.
We're going to play a game. We're going to play a game if you can decide if the quote is a white nationalist or a Jewish economist, but we're going to have to get back to that. That's for a later episode.
We're still putting it together.
We're not ready. It's not ready yet, but it's going to be good. It's a teaser. It's a teaser.
Gabe. Oh my God.
So, I mean, I think that basically covers it. There's a lot more info in Sean's article on the blog. There's a lot of links there that you can follow up on. And
if you read Sean's article, like, you don't need anything. Like, I can't believe there's comments at the bottom of it. It's like there's nothing left to say.
There's one commenter was saying how it was a distraction from the greater issue of how we're being replaced by Mexicans. And I was like, well,
it is the issue. That's the same issue.
I don't actually see how it's a distraction from that issue at all.
It also
points in an effective way that it could possibly be, you know, that somehow Obama could be realistically opposed, you know, right in the now, which is that there's not going to be a white nationalist uprising in the time frame of the next 3 years, right? So there could be a Republican suing him and actually creating some kind of gridlock that would prevent any action.
He is racist.
Dude,
bro,
did you guys, like, not read the Turner Diaries? Oh, my God.
I think we all did, didn't we?
Yeah, I thought it was required reading, guys.
I think it's required reading in TRS elementary school.
Yeah, it's like a TRS 101 one book to read. But,
I think that
instead of giving the kids Boxcar Children, just give them Turner Diaries.
All right, so you guys want to, we'll move it along. We're still waiting for Ferguson to happen.
Yeah, it's been put on hold again, it just makes it that much more exciting for
that's right.
Glorious chimp out. That's that is right. To ensue.
And well, in anticipation of that, I asked the autiste about what it was like to not do nothing and just be trying to get your life together. So let's we'll shift gears, we'll hit that, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the latest with Darren Wilson and whatnot here.
Culture, class, weeaboos, 2D waifu, friend zones. Never-ending virginity, wizardry, supreme gentleman. These things and more await you in Le Chateau Autiste. Come, join us.
Because sometimes I do have an opinion on the subject, but my train of thought kind of kills it. I mean, you could capture the sounds of silence and confusion, but that wouldn't be...
Have you had many brushes with the law, Autiste? How would your mother react?
And whenever I get into trouble with people or get harassed by authority figures, it's mostly just harassment from the powers that be. Tell me things, though. She would tell people, like, that I'm autistic, that I used to, that I do good in school, that I'm a good kid. She would have me wearing glasses, or she would speak about all my friends, all the people that like me, things of that nature, or status signal. Try to make it seem that I'm not this kind of thug. I try to tell them, you know, I can't deal with that kind of narrative because they're going to think that I actually did it. Because usually when someone does something that's actually incriminating, people around them say, oh, he was a good kid. He did nothing wrong. And he would go into college. He would try to get his life together. He would try to get that college, being that church. You know, he read to the kids. I mean, there was an instance where I did get stopped and frisked. I mean, I am a New Yorker. It happens to us guys a lot. Or not a lot, but every now and then, especially if you're in a gentrified neighborhood. Like, I was crossing the street, I jaywalked, and a bunch of cops, like, pull out of nowhere. They surrounded me. One threatened to, as he was frisking me, he said, do you have any, like, sharp objects on you? Like, if there's a needle, I swear that I'm going to smash your head on the brick wall. And you know, he was saying all that fancy stuff, and of course they had nothing on me. I had nothing to get a ticket for. I actually had like more than $2 on me, so they couldn't charge me for, you know, vagrant fees or anything of that nature. So I was able to go off scot-free. They said that if they ever see me in this block while they're on patrol, that they're gonna, like, I'm gonna be in some trouble then. But other than that, a few hours later I told her about it. She was annoyed, but then she started speaking to some activists the next few days and became a dindu thing. Like, okay, he was just, he's a good nerdy kid. He's not about this kind of life. So I didn't really like that. It kind of got under my skin because I know a little bit about the law. I know how, like, these stories usually go, and I never want things to go the wrong path.
You went on the path from autiste to dindu nothings?
Yeah, I never want to go down that dindu nothing autiste hybrid path. That's a path that few can tread through and walk out unscathed.
Thank you for joining us again, Autiste. Pants up, don't spurg.
He's great.
You know, knowing him, I actually completely believe this story.
So is autistic privilege a thing?
I guess so.
That's
a really confusing question.
Maybe I don't think it is.
I mean, I'm neurotypical, so I don't know.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah, being neurotypical, you can't really speak to the experience of an autistic person.
I can't. I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know anything about what they go through.
I've felt awkward in social situations before. That's the only time I can... I don't know.
I never really have.
I only felt that way around black people.
Well, yeah. Okay. That works.
You feel like, well, you don't want to make eye contact? Like, you wanted to just...
To defend my valuables and, like, avoid confrontation around... large.
Yeah. Don't do anything that might surprise them.
You definitely don't want to do that. Yeah.
No sudden moves.
You don't, I'm a white person.
You don't want to startle. You don't want to startle them.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, you don't want to startle them. You don't want to make eye contact. There's a few rules. I mean, I think we're actually working on a rule book for this, aren't we? That'll probably be up soon.
We're trying to refine.
Well, we had the guide to going on safari, but we don't have a guide for actual interactions yet.
Yeah, we're gonna have to expand this into a whole TRS project.
I think we should be able to make a pamphlet about, you know, like if you're going to be on the street and encounter vibrant, youthful individuals, what you actually do to survive your encounter. Yeah. And leave without losing any of your valuables, your virginity, or anything like that. You know, like what you actually need to do.
You have to prioritize a list of things you don't want to lose. Your pride is the easiest.
Right.
Yeah.
You can lose that, but
you don't want to be on that World Star.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely don't want to end up on a World Star video. That's for sure.
So the reason I was asking about that is we're all holding our dicks waiting for, anyway.
I think people were saying their sphincters were clenched.
Sphincters were clenched.
I said I was clenching my ass cheeks in anticipation for the Ferguson murder.
This is like Half-Life 3. Like, they keep pushing the release date back further and further. And, you know, we're like, come on, dude. Like, the beta has been out for a while. Let us play this game.
I mean, I was convinced they were going to do it the weekend before before this weekend, rather. And because we started all of a sudden getting a bunch of leaks. If you remember, like, last weekend around Friday, Saturday, a bunch of leaks came out in the news, like, oh, new video of Darren Wilson walking around, new video of him doing this. And I was like, oh, well, this must have all been evidence presented to the grand jury, and now it can be made public because that's all over with. But that's not true. So
the
grand jury met Friday, and then we all thought that was when the decision was going to be made. And there's a protocol in place where, like, they have to the court's going to notify, like, police and emergency responders 48 hours before they actually announce it. So once they get a verdict, it's still going to be 2 days before we hear it.
So we're assuming they're going to get that. They're going to have the verdict on Tuesday, and they're going to, announce it on Thanksgiving when everyone's too busy.
Which is great. If you think about it, to a certain extent, they've actually managed this kind of well, because, like, the governor issued the preemptive state of emergency, so everybody's oh shit, it's gonna be like tomorrow, right? But it wasn't. Then all these leaks came, everyone's like, it's gonna be tomorrow, and it wasn't. And, like, these activists must be getting primed, and they're getting up to that peak, and then it's not happening. So then the momentum kind of goes away. I think they're actually fucking with the emotional roller coaster pretty well here.
So you're saying it's like an SJW like masturbation session here, like.
Well, I think it would be funny if they were doing this to purposefully emotionally tire them.
Yeah.
Where they get all tuckered out and then walk home eventually.
I got three numbers for you. 1, 4, 8.
That's right.
I think it was actually 148.8, wasn't it?
Could be.
That's the exact number.
I was just, one more thing. I'm speculating.
I mean, I think he was actually 148.8 feet away.
That's right. The story was in, I guess it was in the Daily Kos.
Dude, that's my first news source.
I know, right? They figured out that their original mantra that he died 35 feet away from the SUV, 35 feet away from the SUV.
I think it was a cruiser, not an SUV.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
It was a SUV, I think, but.
Either way, whatever.
It was one of those,
that really doesn't matter.
So, but actually, Didn't Do Nuffins fell 148.8 feet away from the cruiser, which I don't see what difference it makes, but the leftists literally think now that Darren Wilson was a crack shot who no-scoped this guy from 50 yards away with his, you know, with his pistol, that he just shot at him from 148.8 feet away, got a headshot, a kill shot.
All right, so those of you who are firearms...
He spun his pistol in his hand and put it in his holster.
Yeah.
I mean, people that are firearms experts,
let me raise my hand about that. Like, seriously, like, 50 feet, if you get a solid group at 50 feet, you're pretty decent. Like, 150 feet, I mean, that is like IDPA, like, oh, I got compete all the time, or IPSEC shooting. Like, that is really fucking amazing. And it does not contradict. Okay, so they're saying that he died 150 feet from the cruiser, how does that prove that he was shot from that distance? Like, that's just where he expired.
It's just, they just...
That doesn't contradict what the autopsy found, because they're like, well, according to autopsy, he was shot within at least 30 feet due to the gunshot residue and all that. So how does that contradict that? Like, that just gives you the point where he expired. How does that possibly that he was sniped from that distance?
Because, you see, he couldn't have reached into the SUV to try to grab Wilson's gun if he was 140 feet away
You gotta understand, the first narrative that we heard was from leftists was that... Darren Scorpion Wilson was like, get over here, and like dragged him in through the window. That's right. And then shot him.
He dragged him
okay,
in.
So
he picked him up and he threw him 140.
No, he pulled him through. Yeah, and then threw him to do the fatality. Yeah,
he pulled him in and brought him eye to eye and stared into his eyes and said, "I want to see the lights leave your eyes, black boy.
Don't resist."
Is there even any reason to believe that he did die that distance away? I mean, I saw a video where some guy takes a measuring tape, wagon measuring tape, and walks down the street.
That's the article I'm referring to. It's like, we have new video that proves. Like, I thought there was gonna be some like sick video of like
how do we even know that they were starting from the point where the police cruiser was? I mean, do we know that? There's no reason to think that.
Well, they claim that from where you can see a photo of the crime scene tape where it starts, and then if you look at the picture of Mike Brown bleeding in the street, and you look up at the address on the building behind him, you can discern from that where he actually was laying, and if you compare it to where that cruiser was parked in the police tape, who knows?
That's okay. Well, wait a second. Hold on. Oh, this is fucking. Assuming
the cruiser
ridiculously easy to debunk, because obviously the police cruiser could have been moved over to the side of the road.
Oh no, that's
impossible.
I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
We can definitely know where the body was. That's in a lot of photographs. No. But you see the cruiser parked down the street, and that means that's where it was the whole time.
It doesn't change shit. Okay, so perhaps their altercation took place further away from the vehicle. I mean, the assertion that initially was made by the police was he was shot within 35 feet, and that's exactly what the autopsy actually proved. He was shot within that distance. So this idea that he fucking sniped him with a service pistol from, you know, 150 feet away, that's idiotic.
Moving target.
Wherever the car was also, yeah, it doesn't have to mean that's where the actual altercation took place. It could be that Wilson actually, after the altercation in the car, followed him, then, you know, shot at him when he turned around and started running back at him.
Well, so, the easiest way to clear up all such confusion, guys, it would be if we just had some kind of government entity. Let's do a little bit of fun reading. Let's postulate on a government and corporate funded entity, a regulatory entity designed to be an impartial observers of information, determine what is and is not factual, and then issue a range of verdicts on the information, which the government is required to address in an impartial and fair way. The check on that is the governmental enforcement and corporate and governmental and civilian joint oversight, another separate entity. The first entity...
Hold up.
Okay.
Is that... Okay, like...
Do you have a problem with this?
We would know for sure we were getting accurate information on the Mike Brown case.
Exactly.
Oh, when I was a kid, though, like, I read this book by this British fag, like, his name is George Orwell, and he was like,
that guy's just a fag.
He like called it Ministry of Truth. Is that like close to that?
Well, actually, then the next line... It's like you were reading what I'm reading. The first entity would not be called the Ministry of Truth and would have as impartial and boring a name as possible.
Oh, thank God. I mean, I was afraid it was going to be the same. Okay, right. Keep going. You got me now. I'm on board.
The first entity could simply just be a new power given to the FCC. So, at no point would this organization be a news media operation itself. Of course not. This organization would not investigate or fine individuals and would only give verdicts on information provided by news organizations that is presented as fact or in a way that appears to be fact. Offering opinion as though it is fact would be considered a lie. So would some people say on a news broadcast. A network with news in the name would not be allowed to offer opinion shows, for example.
I got a question.
Okay.
Does this happen in a world where lawyers don't exist?
I mean...
I'm just saying, like, all these definitions I've heard so far, like, lawyers would just make hay out of that.
Well, look, you know, you're really actually raining on this parade. We are trying to figure out a way to have an impartial news media that presents only facts so the public can make independently informed decisions.
Yeah, it would have to be run by the government because they would never...
They have no interest in spinning information
there
at
would
all.
Never, there would never be anything...
No, never. No.
There, you know, we wouldn't... You have to say silly things like banana. Anyway, a network with news in the name would not be allowed to offer opinion shows. So this would apply... This would not apply to a separation of, say, the Hannity show out to a separate network that would be called Fox Opinions, for instance. But remember, attempts to get around this and make it seem like fact in any way would be against the law. So here you go. Hannity could be, you know, arrested for having his show. Also, as part of law, news shows would be allowed no advertisements and must disclose where any money comes from to run the operation.
Whoa. So if they don't advertise, how do they actually make money?
Oh, I don't know. It would be like Obamacare for news. You would just like...
This is really weird, guys.
This is why we need public funding for news.
I'm getting uncomfortable about this.
That's right. You'd have to go around. You would have to charge the people who don't watch it a premium to have the news run. Anyway, no guests on news shows to discuss what they think about the news. That is all for clear opinion.
Fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And you know, whoever types up the teleprompter, it's not what they think about the news. There's no interpretation there anyway.
Comes right from the eye of Nye.
Right. Politics would be seen as entirely opinion. However, political ads lying about a candidate would take a different form and a different agency. See, once
so therefore, we couldn't say that Sean Maloney's full of baloney because objectively he's not.
He's not full of baloney.
Unless he had a baloney sandwich on that day.
Yeah, that would be the only... Yes, that would be
the only day you could air that ad.
That would be the only time that ad would be allowed.
I got a question. Is this a Shaw 2... Is this an Altiste episode that I missed out on? Like, where are you finding this?
Oh, this predates Altiste, unfortunately.
I mean, this sounds very autistic.
This kind of gave me the idea for the autistic segment, if I'm going to be completely honest.
Can we interview this guy? Is that a possibility? Can we do that?
I doubt that it's a possibility. Well, it would be great. I would love it.
From what I understand, this entire screed has been scrubbed from the internet, and showing such a thing as a screen cap or cut and paste version of it, it doesn't prove that he actually wrote it. So,
yeah, it's definitely been doctored.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to talk to this towering intellect that came up with this fucking plan. Like, this guy is a genius.
Yeah. Well, he's not done. Let's see.
How much more of this actually is there?
Dude, there is so much more. I'm in so deep. Well, maybe let me skip ahead.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to read this whole thing, actually. That might have been...
Oh, okay, here we go. I'm skipping down to some good stuff here. So the threshold for a lie is partially as follows. Presenting non-factual and non-sourced information on news shows. So no more citation needed.
Hold up. I mean, I'm gonna get autistic here for a second. If it's unsourced, I mean, it's not technically a lie. It's just an assertion without evidence.
No, this is the new threshold. If you don't have a source, you can't say it.
But oftentimes, the news is a primary source.
God damn it! That's an argument.
Well,
it's
like the news has.
Maybe we'll have to create a ministry of approved sources to feed information to the. Let's see. Explicitly.
You'd have to have a list of approved sources.
All right, keep going.
They would have to be like scientists on the government payroll to make sure that.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. They have to tell us about global warming. Explicitly clarifying a show as a news show, but having a guest on to have an opinion. That's a lie. Presenting anything as though it is fact on opinion shows that have been clearly designated opinion, unless it is sourced and the source is not telling a falsehood. Wow. It's like you just keep peeling back the onion into the layers.
But who decides if it's a falsehood or not? Like, what? How?
Scientists,
how you
idiot.
Bureaucrats. Using wording designed
the Ministry of the Ministry of Intelligence as appointed by Black Science Man.
Ultimately, he would probably be the final go-to authority on anything.
Most people don't think the universe is, but it do.
Look, I just want to know how we keep the global warming deniers from, like, running their fat mouths for the Koch brothers. Just tell me how we do that.
This is how we do it. Right? This is how we do it without actually infringing on anyone's constitutional right to free speech.
Shut it down! Shut it down!
That's how you do it.
Free speech doesn't mean that you can promulgate unscientific opinion.
Exactly. It's in the Constitution.
Using wording designed to get around these concepts in order to portray an opinion as though it is a fact. All facts and opinions must be stated explicitly on air.
Excuse me, I'm a lawyer. I'm gonna. How do I interpret that?
how does
this here's work? A question. Here's a good question. Here's a good question for that. Is the categorical distinction between a fact and opinion a fact or an opinion?
Well, as a lawyer, I'm definitely going to use that.
I mean, it's actually a good question. I think I asked this guy that question.
Oh, here we go.
I don't need an answer.
It's going to come up. Like, are
you
seriously?
Guys? Do you guys want to hear about how we get around the age old "Who's watching the Watchmen?" question?
Yeah.
Let me read.
Apparently, this makes like
because there's this thing called regulatory capture, and I think this guy
that's coming. That's coming. So how do you prevent the people who work for either oversight from being experts in the field? Considering there's no such thing as a fact expert, no such experts would exist.
Oh, fucking God. Enough.
I'm a fact expert.
Do you want me to stop? Ghoul's tapping out.
Stop. he just checkmated this.
Wait, right, there's one more left. How do you prevent regulatory capture? You don't pull experts from the field to be regular employees. Instead, you source from multiple experts all across the field, and you use those sources as your backup. So everybody's going to be a freelance expert. You're not going to be a regular employee. And
I'm volunteering for the job of fact expert.
Yeah, I want to be a fact expert. I want to be in on this. So this is how, you know, obviously this is solved. If we could just implement, this should be an executive order, not immigration. Right. We should be setting this up.
Yeah, that would fix everything. I mean, just for the, I guess, if people don't actually get this, this is actually somebody that we know put this together as a response to.
This is what progressives actually believe.
Yeah, this is basically what progressives actually believe. We should make that into a little segment.
You can find him on YouTube. His username is Cuckmaster Extreme.
Oh, that's the guy that lives in the basement of his, never mind.
No, different guy. This is the Ministry of Truth proclamation.
Yeah,
that's what we got.
We got to do. This is a new segment from now on. What progressives actually believe.
I don't know. That's I don't know if we're ever going to be. Idea. I don't know if anything's ever going to measure up to this one. This is so epic. We should.
I think we can find things. We got plenty of source material.
And the same guy keeps talking, so you could keep listening.
I wonder if this should get like typed up and put on the site so people could see it. I mean, obviously, I don't want to put the screen cap up with the guy's face on it, but I don't know.
I don't know. Because
there's so much.
We already got tired of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
There's so much more of this that I skipped, and it's just like all equally ridiculous. It just hurts to read.
This is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, today it was explained to us that raping police officers is fine. And yeah. that was an argument made today.
In another segment of what progressives actually believe, we got a guy to say that as long as that when you become a police officer, you stop being black, Latino, or a woman, and you just become a police officer. Therefore, any kind of violence against you is justified. And of course, he's a leftist, so we asked him. So, okay, so if the KKK killed a bunch of black police officers, this is okay? And he said yes.
Wow.
He said yes because you cease being your minority identity. And you become a cop. And the interesting thing was that if the KKK killed a bunch of black cops, it's like two birds with one stone, because then there's cops that are gone, and then the KKK will go to jail for it, which is funny considering that. Well, do you want to go ahead and say why it's funny?
Go ahead, because we know where this is going.
That he's then relying on the same problematic. He's relying on the same evil system to put the KKK in jail. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, the racist police system takes care of the racists, so therefore it's all good. How does this work?
He obviously missed.
How does this work?
That doesn't sound good.
It sounds like fuzzy piss.
I was trying to play the Bad Guys theme, but
can we do the Bad Guys theme? I would actually like to hear that.
It sounds like I'm having an issue.
Well,
pause
pretty,
and resume.
Pretty sure Progressive Elementary School teaches you that some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It.
Oh, yeah.
And now I've got Bulls on Parade going, God damn it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So.
Which is, I mean, that's definitely true. The interesting thing is that on some level, it probably is true.
All right, but by the way,
the KKK is completely, basically, the FBI at this point.
Yeah, but, basically, it's all informants. There's no members left, right?
I don't think they're all informing on each other. I honestly don't think there's like one guy. And like this entire government bureaucracy.
They don't know because
that one guy.
They all have hoods on, so they don't know that they're all agents.
This is the Daily Show-Up.
Yeah. Okay, hi, everybody. We had a technical issue. Sorry about that.
Hey, this guy's a commie!
But everything's working now, as you can hear.
No, 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 no!
We could not do the Daily Show without my sound effects. So anyway, since we didn't know what we were talking about, we're going to move along and we're going to bring you the Shitlord Report this week with our friend Holly Himmler.
You fucking love science until it wears a shirt you don't like. I'm Holly Himmler for TRS.biz, and this is the Shitlord Report. The entire world was shocked last week to learn that Matt Taylor, a spurgy nerd from the European Space Agency, would dress up as a human Dakimakura at a press conference. I won't bother to point out that white men have managed to land a spacecraft on a comet millions of miles from Earth, and that feminists are more concerned with fashion choices of one of those responsible for that feat. That's everywhere on the internet already. When the organized ovary operatives of social media began their hail of ironic hashtag, you fucking went and apologized for it. Great job! You could have been a role model. Boys all over the world with the actual potential to enter and rise to the ranks of the STEM industries could have seen a smart, strong man who refused to be distracted by jealous, worthless, rent-seeking vaginal thought police. Little girls needing a sense of patriarchal security and respectability to assert itself in their lives could have had you give it to them instead of all those Gamergate neckbeards. Taylor, let me also add that I'm not at all that surprised that you caved in. That shirt of yours cries out, magic card champion wizard version. A real man wouldn't apologize for wearing it, but I'm also pretty sure a real man wouldn't wear a silly piece of shit like that either. Sure, you're married and you've got kids, but that shirt tells me your wife doesn't fuck you anymore. So, predictably, you put yourself out there not only as a cuckold, thirsty, spineless man-child apologizing to mommy feminism, but you fucking cried in the process of doing so. Cried on fucking TV, on video that everyone in the world can pull up and view in the palm of their hand. Let me tell you about men crying. The only male tears that make me moist are those of man-child commies whose helicopter rides are about to end. I suppose it's not my place to teach men not to cry. We need to teach feminists not to smart shame. Scientists don't need to be told what to wear. The white coats don't need their ankles bitten by jealous low-rent do-nothings who can't see past the genitalia of who does what in this world. No matter what Matt Taylor was wearing, he was not asking for it, and it was wrong for the internet to attack him. Help us spread awareness for this worthy cause. Please navigate to the TRS homepage and donate $14.88 to support aging male virgin engineers and scientists in America. And like, our minority sterilization program too or something. Thanks, America. For the right stuff.biz, I'm Holly Himmler, and this has been the Shitlord Report. Vielen Dank, mein weißer Bruder.
You know what I think she needs?
Well, speaking of male tears, I mean, I think that there was, like, a celebrity recently that was sort of crying tears.
I was just saying, I think she needs a pudding pop. Sorry.
I think we do have a guest speaker.
We have a guest speaker who's going to tell us about what he didn't do.
Everybody, welcome Bill Cosby to the show.
Hi, Bill.
How you doing?
So, I guess the question on everybody's mind is, did you rape all of these women?
Well, I most definitely did not. Stick my zuzubity boo boo in their gajubity job. You see, allegedly, I gave her the silly pill, and she got all floppy and silly.
So, when you gave her the silly pill, well...
Well, she was just too drunk, that's all.
Oh.
So I thought it would be best to take her to my house to feed her some Jell-O pudding pops.
How did she react to those pudding pops?
I mean, it was fine. I just feed her the Jell-O pudding. I most definitely did not stick my cuck-cuck-a-choo in her zip-zop-zoobity-bop. I'm a good boy. I didn't do nothing.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, there was... It's a possibility that, you know, she reacted poorly to the pudding and started vomiting because wasn't the allegation that she woke up in the bathroom vomiting with you looming over her?
Oh, she's just being a lying bitch. I don't know anything about this Illumina.
Cosby doesn't loom.
Pokemon. Pokemon is... let's talk about Pokemon.
Jesus Christ.
So maybe she was nauseous because she had taken a visit to the dentist earlier in the day and her...
Obukebi? Is that what you're getting at?
From the anesthesia. I'm sorry. You guys remember the whole visit to the dentist bit?
Sure, sure.
Everyone knows that,
Obukebi? Right? Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know. I think that new bit might be over.
So, TRS, what do you like to play?
What did you say?
So, what do you like to play?
What?
What do you like? You like to play Jump Rope, don't you?
I like to play Super Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers? Super Smash with the Smash of the Brothers and the Combo and the Mario and the Bowser.
That's it. That's what I play. That's what I. That's.
Exactly. I mean, we used to like to play Jump Rope when we were little kids, I suppose. And you know, yeah. I'm not sure where you were going.
Kids don't like to do the Jump Rope no more, do they? The kids, they listen to the rap, which gives them the brain damage.
Yeah, I mean, while we have you here, we know that you've been highly critical of the black community. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, community.
It's a bunch of dumb niggers. They sit around and they listen to the hippin' and the hoppin' and they don't know what the jazz is all about.
I used to hate when you used to be all romantic with Claire and play the smooth jazz from the 80s. That always ruined the show for me.
I got a question. Do you think these allegations have something to do with your conservative stances? Do you think people are reacting to that?
Yeah, they just say they see me as a Uncle Tom, but they just want to lynch the right wing Negroes.
Hmm. You think this is a case of
shut it down
because you're having the wrong opinion about your own oppressed?
I guess. I mean, I just want to sit around and eat my Jell-O pudding and rape. I mean, play the Pokemon and that's all.
Oh God.
I think this is like Lena Dunham, and he's an unreliable narrator.
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember to let victims narrate their own experience, no matter what. So,
I mean, I was impressed that Lena Dunham didn't use the unreliable narrator, you know, excuse for her, you know, accusations of.
Didn't she?
No, she didn't. Though she didn't use that. She didn't say that it was like an allegory or something she made up. Like she just defended it and was like, oh no, that's not really child abuse. Like, wow, you could have totally, you had a back door. You could just be like, oh yeah, I'm an unreliable narrator, and she didn't fucking use it. I mean, if that's not proof positive that she's actually what's her money for child molester, then I don't know what it is.
Child predator, I believe.
Child predator. That's the wording she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, child predator. I think is actually the nomenclature she preferred. But
so anyway, I believe we're at capacity here. Do you want to hit it?
Well, we know who's actually behind these rape allegations.
Of course, that's what it is. If you're not sucking on the narrative there, you know it's time to get shut down. So,
well, who's behind the allegations? I mean, I don't know
who could be behind.
We know who could be.
We might have an
those
idea.
Fucking kikes.
Wow.
With that, here's your merchant minute.
Burn the fags and boil the heebs. You can't take the Reich from me. This is the Merchant Minute. After spending years whining about their magic Negro president being a weakling who always caves in to an obstructionist Republican minority, liberals are now blowing a collective load to the live stream of cuckold porn that is American politics, as the magic Negro suddenly deferred deportation of 5 million people whom we weren't going to deport anyway because that would look like another showa politically. If only La Raza could muster the agency to knock down some buildings with planes like the Jews did, maybe then we could deal with this problem like men. But as things currently stand, we're not going to get anything positive done without getting cock-blocked by the American Civil Liberties Union. And some sand merchants killed some regular merchants with meat cleavers and a handgun in a synagogue on Tuesday, and because some of the victims were American, meaning dual citizens, we're all supposed to feel like this many showa was an act of aggression against us, as the Hebes at Front Page Mag trot out the technicality that Palestinians have killed more American citizens than ISIS has. Subtract the dual citizens from that list, Shlomo. Their country of residence shows you where their loyalty lies. Any Palestinians who'd like to avoid being shelled on a beach in retaliation for this synagogue attack should go hang out at an ISIS stronghold on the Syria-Israel border, as Israel doesn't intend to ever attack those locations. And now for your local weather. We're all still holding our dicks as we wait for the grand jury's decision on whether to charge Officer Darren Wilson with the murder of Dindu Nuffin. Even though I was wrong last time, as weathermen always are, here's my new prediction. The grand jury will reach a decision just in time for Thanksgiving in the hopes that the horde of Dindus will forego rioting, being too busy scarfing down deep-fried EBT turkey and unbuttoning they drows to make more room in their stomachs for other alimentary tools of eugenics. However, this may backfire the following day and give new meaning to Black Friday, a day on which we already act black as fuck anyway. As for closings and delays, the Jennings School District, one of four districts that service the youths of Ferguson, will be closed this Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday to protect their students from violent actions as mindless as wind knocking down a tree branch, which will later be painted by the media as vibrant, self-aware political protests with actual goals beyond getting a free flat screen. If you're a student attending a school in the Jennings District, be sure to thank Officer Darren Wilson for your day off from having shriveled up Marxist sex ed teachers tell you how to shove a female condom up your ass, because Darren Wilson is the one who caused all of this, as the rioting basketball Americans have no agency. And as for Bill Cosby, hashtag yes all black men. For the rightstuff.biz, I'm Morak Hugh, and this has been the Merchant Minute.
Wow. Maybe, awesome. Maybe Shlomo really did get to Morak Hugh. He said at the end there that it sounds like to me he thinks Bill Cosby's guilty. Yes, all black men. Come on.
Well, it's weird. I don't know. I think we got actually entirely possible.
Supposed to be.
We've got a conflict of narratives. I mean, it's you got female allegations of rape versus a Negro. So
yeah, it's tough.
We're gonna see which narrative is more important.
I just don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to go here.
Considering that Bill Cosby is not only wealthy, he's white presenting, and he has criticized the Dindu community in the past, I'm guessing this is gonna lean towards the woman.
Yeah, but he's also black.
he does have holy blood.
I mean, that's true. Man, the one thing we did forget to talk about was the Dindus that were caught with TNT intending to supposedly blow up the St. Louis Arch.
Whoa.
They were just nice guys, right?
I think they were just actually nice, average guys.
They were just pretty chill.
No. Actually, tell me about this, because I did not hear this at all.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, like, a couple of members of, like, the new Black Panther Party were like, nabbed by the FBI with, like, TNT, and they were going to, they had been under observation the whole time, because I guess obviously, the new Black Panther Party has FBI informants inside of it. So, like, these particular guys, it was known they were going to try and procure explosives, and they did, and then they got arrested, and I guess their intent was to blow up the St. Louis Arch if Darren Wilson was acquitted.
So, you're telling me they were on Craigslist advertising and got popped?
Yeah, they're in custody, but apparently the cops that booked them, actually thought they were just, you know,
they're just nice guys, you know.
Just nice guys. They're very articulate, which is always means, you know. That's always a compliment coming from a white man.
I mean, is this like a false flag operation? I mean, are they being framed? Like,
well, I'm quite sure that I'm sure you could find people making that allegation if you visit.
It sounds like it's a false flag, and they're being framed.
Yeah,
I mean, just that's my that's.
Well, you're just assuming that blacks don't have enough agency to actually plot something like this, right? Well, so it has to be a false flag. Because,
yeah, obviously not.
Right. Somehow Jews are involved in this. I mean. Like that goes. Well, that goes without saying.
That goes without saying. I mean, we don't even have to say that. I mean, they're responsible for everything. We're all just pawns in their massive game,
right? So, which somehow makes sense.
That's right.
You know, somehow all of this benefits them. But
of course. So anyway, let's wrap this thing up. Everybody out there in TRS land, have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your deep fried
turkey.
Your deep fried EBT turkeys as
rice and jalapeno.
Enjoy your Blacksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
God. I mean, Black Friday, he's right. Black Friday could be the apocalypse. That would be incredibly fun to watch from the comfort of my mother's couch with a belly full of turkey.
I mean, what would you rather do? Would you rather be online at like 3 in the morning at Walmart for cheap TVs? Or would you rather just be like smashing open stores for free TVs?
One way or the other, they're going to be at Walmart at 3 in the morning.
It's a tough call. I mean, do you want the deal or do you want the steal?
I want to kill him. Put him up. Stop it!
Sorry, that was...
Yeah, I think that's the cue. It's been enough.
So anyway, we'll be back next week with the Chimpocalypse. Thanks for listening. We'll see you then.
Hope you're doing well.
Oh, I almost forgot. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for donating,
and I hope you're doing well.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember, others may hate you. Those who hate you don't win, unless you hate them. And then you destroy yourself. Escuchía un el eco de su voz. Adiós, mi hija.
general, adiós. Quiero cerrar filas otra vez en ese ejército que invicto comandó y que mil glorias a la patria me entregó. Adiós, mi general, adiós. La página que hoy día se cerró se abre allí a la historia como ráfagas de sol, justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven, los que jamás se han de olvidar. General, adiós. El grito que en Chorrillos se escuchó.
¡Viva Baquedano venceró!
Y que del pecho del soldado se escapó. Adiós, mi general, adiós. Solo soy un ciudadano más. Que deudor de su grandeza y sencillez, hoy vino a despedirlo con manual. Adiós, mi general,
adiós.
La página que hoy día se cerró se abre ya la historia como ráfagas de sol. En el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven.